The Jewish people were God's chosen people, and they lived in two separate nations for over 300 years. This was not God's plan. This was not his design, but it happened. And combined, those two nations had 39 different kings. And out of 39 kings, only four of them could be called really good kings. And that's the name of our sermon series, Four Good Kings. We're looking at these kings. We've looked at two so far, one today and then next week. What can we learn from their lives? Even their mistakes. How can we take that and avoid the same mistakes that they made? What can we learn from their lives? And most of all, how can we apply that to our own lives? Our third good king is Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was the greatest king in all of Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, never had a good king. Not one good king. They didn't listen to their prophets. They didn't listen to the warnings. And in 722 BC, Israel fell to the Assyrians, and they were taken away. They were taken into captivity. But Hezekiah, he's one of the kings that helped Judah, the southern kingdom. He helped them enjoy a longer protection, longer blessing. The enemies didn't get to them. And you can find his story in 2 Kings chapter 18 through, or chapters 18 through 21. We'll be in chapter 18 in just a minute if you'd like to turn there now. Israel had gone back to evil living, idol worship. It just turned away from God even after all the things that had happened to them. And the Bible starts in the first couple of verses of chapter 18 by telling us that Hezekiah became the king. He was 25 years old, and he ruled Judah for 29 years. And so I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. So in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. He, Hezekiah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. A father here means ancestor, forefather. Verse 4, he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called I've messed this up. I knew I was going to. I can't say it. Nehushtan. Nehushtan, that's it. Sorry about that. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord, and he did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. So we have the greatest king here. He never turned away. He never turned his back on the Lord or really just turned away at all. And the Bible says he was very successful in everything he did. Now, Hezekiah, that being said, Hezekiah was not a perfect person, but he was a great king. King David was the greatest king of all time. He ruled over the nation of Israel before there was a division. But as far as Judah, the southern kingdom, that separate kingdom, Hezekiah was the best king. And David also sinned. David also made some really bad decisions along the way, but he's remembered as a great king, a man after God's own heart. You need to remember that. You need to apply that into your own life. Don't let your own self, that self-talk that happens in your mind sometimes, don't let the devil come along and whisper something in your ear. Don't let other people, what they think about you, what they say about you, don't let any of that limit what God wants to do through you. Don't listen to those things. You listen to God and what he wants to accomplish in your life, through you and in you. If you want the same kind of blessing that Hezekiah enjoyed, the same kind of protection, then put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Confess him as Lord, then read the Bible and do what it says. If you don't know Jesus and you want to talk about that, you're not sure where you stand with him, I would love to talk to you. A few years into Hezekiah's reign, I mentioned this a little bit before, Israel fell to the Assyrians and they took them into captivity. Now they owned or were in control of the land. And now their sights were set on Judah. We're going to get these guys now. We're going to take them over. So the Assyrians are coming for Judah and King Hezekiah. The army was bigger, it was better, it was stronger, it had fresh victories, and they were hungry for more conquering. They wanted more. They had a reputation that struck fear into people. And on paper, if you put the two armies, and Judah had a good army, Hezekiah had built this up. On paper, it looked like an easy victory, though, for the Assyrians. There was no way Judah had the resources, the soldiers, all of it. There was no way they could completely defend their country. They were eventually going to be defeated. So you had people telling Hezekiah what to do, giving him all sorts of advice. And if you've been in a leadership position before, you know sometimes people like to give you advice, and some of it's good, some of it's not so good, some of it's, you know, maybe selfish, or who knows the motives, but you get all sorts of advice, and not all the advice, you can't do it all. You know, some of it's kind of the opposite. So the common Hezekiah, you got to understand, this army is bad. You need to do this, you need to do that. So Hezekiah had to make a decision. He had to make a decision, and it was an important decision because it was going to affect the rest of his rule. It was going to affect his people. King Hezekiah was a man that followed God, and he was a good king, so he loved the people. He had the people's interests in mind. He cared about his country. So that was this. Whatever he does, you know, with this situation, would affect all of that. And his decision was this. He prayed. He sought God. God, what do I do? What should I do, God? And he sought the prophet Isaiah, and that's the same Isaiah that the book is named after later on in the Old Testament. So Isaiah told him, this is what God says, and brought him words from the Lord. And so that decision led to this. Overnight, the Assyrians were about to attack. Overnight, God wiped out 185,000 soldiers. Dead on the ground. Think about how many people that is. Nearly 200,000 people. 185,000 soldiers lay into. The sun comes up, these dead soldiers. And the ones that God didn't strike down, they went home running away and they were afraid. There wasn't a battle. Not so much as a rock was thrown. No battle. God did it for them. And go and read that story. It's just a great story. It's a true story, and it's one of my favorite stories of the Bible. Hezekiah made a decision, a very important decision, and that decision, he turned to God. He turned to God first. And the big takeaway, if you read that story later, the big takeaway is turn to God first. Before you hit the internet, before you talk to your friends, before you make your phone calls, before all the other stuff, turn to God first and ask him. Today I want to focus on another story about Hezekiah. It's more personal. And my prayer has been for quite a while now that this story will speak deeply to you and it will speak personally to you. I know we're in a room with a lot of people in here, but the Holy Spirit can speak to you individually today, and that's been my prayer. It comes from chapter 20 of 2 Kings, and this happened not long after this miraculous non-battle where the army was wiped out. But Hezekiah got very sick. He was almost dead. He got very, very sick. And it's very interesting that the Bible doesn't say why Hezekiah got sick. But he got sick. He nearly died. Hezekiah was faithful. The Bible says he never turned away from the Lord. And so the application there, just kind of a side note to remember today, is don't assume if something bad comes your way. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial thing. It's something at work. It's something at school. Something, whatever it is, it's difficult. You're going through it right now, maybe. Don't assume that you're being judged by God. Don't assume you're being punished by God when bad things happen. Sometimes they happen because we live in a fallen world. Certainly God allows things into our lives, but it's not necessarily to punish you. It's really easy to think that because that's kind of our human mindset. Well, you see somebody in trouble, they're pulled over by the cops and they're cuffing them. It's like, the guy must have done something. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe they pulled over the wrong guy. But we assume that someone has done something wrong when they are in trouble. So don't always assume that about you as far as it relates to you and God. And whatever the reason is that the bad comes into your life, just like Hezekiah, you'll see in a minute, God will use it. God will absolutely use the things that come into your lives if you let him, you turn to him. Let's look in the Bible again. I'm reading out of the New International Version today in chapter 20, if I can get to it. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice," it's like a salve or a rub, "of figs." They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Let's go back to verse 1 again. The verse 1 says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover.'" Hezekiah is at another decision point. He really only has two things he could do. He could press into God, listen to God, see what God has to say about the situation, or he could turn away from God and say, "Why me? I've been faithful. Why is this happening? I'm done with this," and call his friends and call the doctors and all of that without involving God in any of it. He could turn away or he could press in. Those were really the only two choices. You might be sitting in a doctor's office someday across the desk or wherever they do these things. Doctor, he's compassionate. He tries to word it the best he can, but he says, "There's nothing we can do about this. You're not going to make it. This is terminal." Whatever it is, you get that news. And I don't want you to go home depressed today, but it happens. You have known people that have gotten, you know, some sort of news that their illness was terminal and they were going to make it. I know some people like that. Maybe it's not something that grave, but the doctor says something. You know, we can only kind of manage this. We can't cure it. You're going to have to live with it the rest of your life. My dad had Parkinson's disease, and there's no cure for that. They just manage symptoms along the way. But you get this news, you know, whatever. And maybe it's not physical like with a doctor, but you get some sort of news. It's decision time for you. And we've all been in this situation, or if you haven't been, you will be someday. Some kind of thing. And you have this decision. Am I going to turn away from God? Say, "I've tried this. I've been going to church. I've done the thing, and I've served, and I've been faithful the best I can. And this isn't working out, so I'm just going to go live life, and I'm done with all this." Or you could press into God and see what he has to say about the situation. He may choose not to heal you. He may not choose not to fix the situation, but you press into God anyway. Remember, when we're reading Hezekiah's story here, when he turned to God after he got that news from Isaiah, he turned to God. He had no idea of the outcome. He didn't know what God was going to do. We do because we've read the story. But he's living life just like you live life, and he didn't know that there would be a healing. Verse 2, look at this again, verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And it was immediate. The reason we know it was immediate, because look at verse 4 again. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Isaiah wasn't even out of the building yet when Hezekiah turned to the Lord. I assume he's alone. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But he turned to the wall. He pressed into the Lord. He started to pray. And Isaiah hadn't even left at this point. Do you do that? When something comes your way, you know you need to pray about it. It's a situation. Do you go to God first? Like immediately. I need to confess something to you. Because I couldn't preach this message to you today if I hadn't confessed this to God on Tuesday. Because this is one of the things I struggle with. I go talk to my wife, talk to my friends, call another pastor when something's going on. And I had something going on earlier last week, and I finally went and prayed to God. And I should have done that first, and I didn't. I wish I was a better example, but I'll also always be honest with you. And I had to confess that. Now, sometimes I do it right, but this time I didn't do it so right. Do you do that? Human nature is like, I'm going to call my friend, I'm going to check a blog or research or something like that. Or do we go to God first? I don't always. Hezekiah was certainly asking God for some intervention. He didn't say that specifically. He didn't even ask for healing. But remember that Hezekiah was in a relationship with God before all this. He had never turned away from God all his life. He had followed after the God of his forefathers. So he had this relationship. It wasn't, well, I haven't talked to you in a while, God, I better start praying about this. He was in a constant relationship, praying and listening to God. Isaiah told Hezekiah it came through Isaiah, God said it, that he'd give him 15 more years. Put a little perspective on this. If you do some simple math, you know that when this sickness came his way, because he was 25 years old when he became king, he would have been 39 years old. He was a young man. This isn't like, you know, he's near 100 years old or over 100 years old, and, you know, it's coming sometime, but he's a young guy at this point, 39 years old. And he gets this, you're going to die from this. And we know now he lived until age 54, still not all that old, but he got 15 more years of life. Before he said that, though, he said something else. God said this through Isaiah. Before he told him, he'd get the 15 more years, I mean. God said this through Isaiah. Look at just part of verse 5 again I have. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. And we know that God made good on that promise. He did heal him. Gave him 15 more. Again, the Bible doesn't show us that Hezekiah asked for healing. Oh, please heal me. Please fix this, Lord. He talked to God about his past and how he'd been faithful. He got one sentence out, and then he broke down. The Bible says he wept. This wasn't a little theatrical tear coming down his face. He wept. The Bible says he wept bitterly. A deep grief overcame Hezekiah. Like, this is it. This is how it ends. You get the bad news, or maybe you've gotten bad news lately, I don't know. It doesn't look good. How am I going to get out of this deal? How is this going to ever be able to be resolved? Can you look back and say, like Hezekiah, I've been faithful. I followed Jesus all my life. I wouldn't claim to be perfect, and nobody in here would. Read Hezekiah's story later on. He's not without fault. There's some bad decisions he made along the way. So I'm not without fault. Hezekiah is not without fault. You're not without fault. We can establish that. But are you devoted to Jesus and are you following him? I'm not saying, come to church and maybe sing some songs and maybe do some other stuff during the week and I'm involved in this or that. That's fine. That's great. But are you personally connecting with, following Jesus? Hezekiah gets this sentence out, then he cries, but bitterly, the Bible says. Another translation I looked up said he was overcome or he cried with great sorrow. Just this wave of grief hit him. For all of us, living in the culture that we find ourselves in, but especially for my guy friends, my men, my teenage guys, my young guys, don't be afraid of tears. We are told in our culture, especially us men, that tears are bad. You know, we say sorry if one squeaks out. And we're not supposed to show emotion. We're supposed to be manly men. And there probably is times for that. But don't be afraid of tears and don't be afraid of other people. See your tears. It's not wrong. Hezekiah wept bitterly. mostly because of the position I've been in, or the positions I've been in over the last 26 years or so. I've been around a lot of crying in my life. Now, funerals, somebody gets some bad news, has me come over, praying, marriage is falling apart, that kind of thing. And I've had a lot of folks crying, and so often they'll start to cry and they'll say, sorry. Man, never apologize for your tears. That's what's happening in the moment. I don't apologize for my tears. Bring your tears to God. Bring your tears to God, because tears are prayer. They are prayer. Tears are prayer. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:26, he said, sometimes we don't know what to pray. We just can't get the words out. Maybe just the tears are coming. You don't have these words. And then Paul reminds us, same verse, Romans 8:26. Paul says, the Holy Spirit, he'll pray for you. In words you couldn't even understand, he will express the prayers for you. You're not going to probably hear him do that, but know faith in Jesus Christ, knowing what the Bible says, we believe what it says. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. Is that not something amazing? When you really think about that, the Holy Spirit prays for me. Don't be afraid of tears. Don't apologize if other people see your tears. God sees your tears. You know, Peter cried. King David cried. Hezekiah cried. We just saw that. Paul cried. You know who else cried? Jesus, in the shortest book in the entire Bible, or the shortest verse in the entire Bible. It says Jesus wept. Again, not this little tear coming down. Jesus wept over the death of his friend. He wept, and other people saw it. So I mentioned Peter, David, Hezekiah, Paul, and Jesus. Which one of these five guys, if you know just even a little bit about these guys, which one of those five men would you say that is a wimpy, he's not a guy, guys don't cry? Which one do you accuse of those five men as being wimpy men? No, none of them. These are men. They went through a lot of stuff, and they took it. So take your tears to God, man of God. Take your tears to God, woman of God. Take your tears to God, my teenagers of God, my kids of God. Take your tears to God. When you feel like crying, go for it, and let God see it, and let it be your prayer. Jesus understands. He gets it. He gets you. You understand that individually he understands it and gets you. Sometimes you may not understand why the tears are there. You don't understand yourself. What is going on in my mind? Well, Jesus understands because he understands you. And the Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit lovingly prays for you. Is that not the best news? That's good news. Right? Because that's part of the gospel. That is some good news. That's some of the greatest news you can ever hear. The Holy Spirit prays for me. So take your tears to Jesus. Let him do something with them. Tears could be prayer. If you are bold enough to empty your sorrow on Jesus right now, what would it be? Now, some of you just came to your mind right away. Maybe something you've never even talked to God about, much less anybody else. That burden, it could be something from way, way back, and you've carried it for a long time. It could have happened last week. It could be something of your own doing or something that someone did to you. If you could empty that out before Jesus right now, nobody else would hear it, just him, what would it be? Just you and Jesus. Maybe you've never told him this. Maybe you've never brought this up in prayer before. Maybe it's something you don't have the words for. Something that brings tears. You could barely stand to think about it. You just shove it in the back of your mind. You just can't deal with it. I've been praying about this morning, and I believe that some of you are going to find freedom and healing this morning, if you want to. I hope you can be bold today before God. You don't have to share it with anybody in the room. So the best we can in a large room, would you just think about you and Jesus right now? Focus on God. Maybe try not to look around. You can close your eyes or bow your head if you want. Whatever works for you to try to get as close into God as possible. Get in that mode and think about prayer and get really, really honest with Jesus right now. Really honest. What is that thing? Would you whisper it under your breath? Nobody has to hear this. Whisper it to Jesus like right now. Just say it. Just say it to him. Nobody else is going to hear it. And if tears come, they come. You are not alone. And whatever that thing is, you are not alone. Jesus is here. And right in this moment, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. So whisper that thing again. Under your breath, nobody else is going to hear it. Whisper it. Tell Jesus. One last time. Third time. Tell Jesus. Just tell him. He already knows. Tell him. Express it to him. All right, if you've done that, first of all, congratulations on your courage. But here's what I believe God wants to say to you today. Look up at the screen. He said that to Hezekiah in his trouble. Made sure those words made it into the Bible. I believe he says the same thing to you and me today. You're praying to the same God Hezekiah prayed to. Right? The same one. The same God that loved and cared for Hezekiah. He loves and cares for you. I didn't make that up. You know, I just put it on a screen. God said it. And I think he wanted me to show you that today. In the context of whatever you're dealing with in life. Whatever he is doing, whatever he began doing in you right now, today, if something was going on between you and God, let him keep doing it. Things don't generally get changed over, you know, in 1 second, or in a day, or even a week sometimes. And if you'd like to talk about it with me, I would keep your life in confidence, whatever you want to share, we can do that. Let's go back to prayer one more time and ask God to keep moving and keep ministering. Father God, I thank you for every friend here. I thank you that they're here today, and it was no accident that they're here today. You knew they'd be here today. And Father, I have believed for quite a while that you wanted to do something in some people today. I don't know how many or what, but you do. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for my friends that you continue to do the work that needs to be done for each person. Now, friends, if you just stay in prayer right now, I'm going to look up. I'm hoping nobody else is looking around. I'm going to be in the honor system. If you had something that you wanted to share with God today, you whispered that thing under your breath, will you do it? Just a quick hand up and let me see, and I'll pray for you. I won't say your name. We've got hands going up. Okay. More. Yep. Several. Lots and lots of hands. I'm not going to say your name out loud, but I want to pray for you specifically. Any others? A little signal to God that, yep. All right, good. Praise God. Lord, for those that raised their hands, and maybe there were some that were too shy to raise their hands, I thank you for them. I thank you for their courage. I pray that whatever you began doing, or you've maybe been doing already in their life, that you continue to encourage, to heal, to draw closer to yourself. Lord, these are things I can't teach somebody to do, but you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. You would send your Son, your only Son, to die for us, for our sins, so that we may be reconciled with you forever. Father, we look forward to whatever else you're going to do in the lives of people here. And thank you for giving us this opportunity. We thank you for Hezekiah's story and pray that you continue to use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.